going on, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Powered by FTN right here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with you. Not riding solo today. We got our very own Alex Blickle, who's going to drop by in just a little bit. Fresh off a massive 50-1 hit last week in the PGA. Siwoo Kim got it done. Shout out to Pat Mayo, because I know he's probably not watching the show, but Mean Streets and the Mayo Media Network, also on Game Plus Network. And I just remember every time I hear Siwoo Kim, I hear a Pat and his crazy little high-pitched voice talking about Siwoo Kim in the office, always making a sprinkle back in the day over at Anthem Sports and Entertainment, FNTSY. Shout out to the crew over in Toronto. Siwoo Kim, I think we're going to talk about him again today as the American Express gets underway tomorrow. So we're going to talk a little PGA with Alex Blickle. He is the co-host of Pro Versus Pro, a brand new show over at our FTN Network YouTube page. It's free to check out. They usually get together on Tuesday evenings with Justin Bates. It's the only show in the industry where you can get data analysis from two professional golfers. So you get a bit of a inside feel of the game from two greats, and it's really entertaining. And clearly it's a winning show, because not only did Alex nail last week's outright winner, he also nailed a couple other props, and last year he was hot fire as well. So a lot of PGA talk on this show today. We're going to dive into some of the odds, maybe get a little bit of DFS strategy. And Alex, of course, covers all the sports. He's another five-tool player that we have over at FTN. So we're going to touch on the Eagles versus the Giants. Not going to be a sit here. If he talks up the Eagles too much, I might have to put Alex in his place, but we're going to dive into that matchup. We're going to talk about the strengths on both teams. Daniel Jones coming in hot. It's actually the most bet game. I saw Action Network tweet out last night, all the money coming in. I think like 83% of the bets in that matchup coming in on the Giants to cover at the 7.5. And then also a lot of people taking on the money line as well. That's usually a trap when the public is on, you know, that team, that upset squad. We'll dive into it. I'm a little nervous as someone who cheers for the birds. I'm slightly nervous, but ultimately, like, the Eagles have the much better football team all over the place. Defensively, offensive line, generate pressure, can stop the run a little bit better than the Giants can stop the run. And ultimately, defensively, they were number one in pass DVOA, allowed the fewest yards per pass attempt. This is a very different defense than the Vikings threw at Brian Daboll and Daniel Jones. Yeah, it's a very different defense. We'll say that. But we'll dive into that matchup, get Alex's thoughts on that game in particular. Also his thoughts on the divisional round. I get some Super Bowl odds for him as well. Probably a little bit too early for him to be diving into his NFL DFS analysis, but a little bit of a sneak peek, an early look at it, a little bit of a tease, because over at FTNDaily.com, the guys will be with you on Saturday teeing up the four games. It does get underway on Saturday. Of course, we have the all the matchups that you're well aware. We got the bracket. I think Gove is running the show for us first time here. We're popping his cherry. We'll see. Oh, look at this guy. He's all over it. We might toss out a couple things, you know, at Gove, see what he can do here for us. And I know he's going to be all over it. And I think we're going to see Gove on this show on Friday. Stay tuned for that. As you see the bracket, right, it all just gets underway this week. We have the Saturday matchups, Kansas City, Jacksonville, Philly, and the Giants. And then, of course, Dallas, San Fran, and Cincy, Buffalo. You know, I think sometimes it's easy to overlook some of these things, like the small things that you wouldn't think about. For example, when I think about the Giants, I think about like three straight road games for the New York Giants. That may not seem a lot, but how about Dallas? I think this will be 5 of 6 on the road. And how about like San Fran at home Saturday afternoon, comfy in their bed, maybe celebrating at home, you know, with an early game for them last week on the Saturday. And then Dallas playing on Monday night, that's what, a 52-54 hour difference in terms of time, in terms of rest, two plane rides, right? You're going to go back to Dallas and you're going to go to Cali, San Fran. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, right? It's tough with some of these, the way that the schedule, they would never do that in the regular season. That would never happen. And even like, I'd say that even the Giants probably wouldn't happen with the three games, you know, and some of the time restraints and things like that. But nonetheless, we'll get into some of those matchups. I have a prop for you in one game. There's a couple. We're starting to see some of them surface. Prop shop, FTNBets.com for everything. We're going to really reference that with Alex and some of the odds that he was able to get earlier. We're going to show DraftKings outright winners futures for the American Express. But prop shop is your friend. Save yourself a lot of time and a lot of cash. There's a handful of games on the ice tonight in the NHL. Five. We have some pretty good matchups as well. So I have some picks and some props. I'm going to give a little bit of love to Tyler Seguin, who continues to play in a larger role with Roope Hintz sideline. And Seguin has been pretty good checking in with a four-game point streak. So we're going to give a little bit of love to him. Somebody reached out and asked if I could do the Lamar Jackson thing again. We could maybe revisit that if there's some time. It was just something fun. I think it was a Ravens fan who missed the show yesterday. Friendly reminder, you can hop on over to our FTN Network YouTube page. The show is also available on iTunes and Spotify. We just had some fun. I saw some people kind of chirping me about the five destinations. And thank you. Look at this guy. He's all over it. You know, part of it was fun, maybe not totally realistic. Like, is it really realistic, Miami and Detroit? Probably not. And some news there for Ben Johnson, you know, according to Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network, that offensive coordinator Ben Johnson has decided to remain with the Lions. So exciting news if you're a Detroit fan, especially, you know, with Jameson Williams, you know, into that lineup next year as a larger role. There's a lot of exciting things happening in Detroit. But some of those teams that were on there was just mostly fun. Is Atlanta going to go and get Lamar Jackson? Probably not. Like we talked yesterday, you got to have the cap space. You got to have the draft capital as well. And also the Ravens still, like, they could franchise this guy. They could find a way to keep him as their quarterback as well. But that's basically it. I don't think we'll revisit it again. Maybe we'll ask Alex one more time. It's just speculation. We can do the same thing with Tom Brady. We can do the same thing with Aaron Rodgers. That's kind of what we do in this industry, right? We're going to beat it to death with a draw. Like, it's just going to be so annoying to hear about Rodgers and Brady all year long. It really will, but we'll do it a couple times throughout the show. We'll maybe have some fun with odds when those special odds come out, and, you know, certain books will do things like that. And we will watch all the dominoes fall. It'll be a lot of quarterback change in the NFL this year via free agency, maybe trade. And of course, there's a really nice quarterback class in the NFL. And we will start to talk about that very soon on our FTN Network YouTube page. In fact, myself, Jeremy, and Brian Cook have it planned to dive into all the prospects starting tomorrow over at our FTN Network YouTube page. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to bring in Alex. It is time to talk about the American Express. Kyle Woods is in the house. Daily Handle with Jordan Allen in the house as well. You guys have any questions, by all means, leave them there and we will get to them. Football questions. We'll start to dive into one and done stuff, picks against the spread, props, DFS stuff. It's all happening here next with Blickle. Keep her locked. Welcome back in Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with you as you bring in Alex Blickle. Alex Blickle 1 on the Twitter machine, the co-host of Pro versus Pro. Alex, you're all over it, man. You're busy. You got the hot takes article. You got the course fit article. You got five stats to know in the NBA. I know you're going to be diving into some NFL DFS as well. And you're fresh off a 50-1 Siwoo Kim hit last week. Congratulations, sir.
Just
another day at the office for you, but a hot start to the PGA season, no doubt.
He came through, and I needed it because I was 5 of 6 on 8 different prize picks plays last week for the NFL. So I needed at least one guy to come through and get me all the way there. Siwoo was able to deliver that.
George's favorite prize picks, because we talk about that all the time. He's referenced it a bunch. You know, he puts a dude on a board and graphic, that guy, you know, comes up with the flu, or, you know, in terms of hockey, he hits the post on an empty net. You don't get a shot for that, and George gets screwed. But over at Prize Picks, we reference it all the time on the show. Alex, I know you're deep into it. We have the Prize Picks prop show. Michael Govier is deep into it as well. And we also have Kyle Murray, who has a few PGA picks for tomorrow. Prize Picks prop show is free. You don't have to go perfect. You can afford maybe one loss, depending on how you want to play it, with some flex and some power plays. We also have the free Prize Picks Discord channel, which you and I chatted before. We're going to talk about some outrights in golf, but the Prize Picks Discord channel is free. FTNDaily.com. You go up at the top, we have the free Prize Picks pick tracker. You can mix and match across all the sports. So you can take a PGA play, an NHL, an NFL, NBA, whatever you want to do. But also that Prize Picks Discord channel, which you can get to by just clicking Discord up at the top, it's absolutely lit, dude. Like, and you're going to be in there. What you and I chatted about is, like, after the first round, you start to get a little bit of a better feel with the course, mm-hmm. maybe certain players, and there's really some edges to find in, like, rounds 2, 3, and potentially 4, right?
Yeah, and part of it, too, is, like, my favorite thing to do with Prize Picks is to add correlation to the plays. It's really easy to do in NFL. You pair quarterback with this receiver, pass yards, that kind of thing. And there is one aspect of correlation with golf, and that is if Prize Picks thinks that the scoring environment isn't going to be as good as we think it's going to be, or if they think it's going to be better than we think it's going to be, then we can kind of add that correlation across the board with the birdies or better numbers, and then you get into the matchups as well. So there are a lot of different ways to play PGA Prize Picks. Haven't quite figured out my favorite way to do it yet, the way I've settled into NFL, but yeah, it's going to be really exciting and fun to do so throughout the season.
So you and I are going to chat a little bit about NFL in just a little bit, and we'll get into some of the odds here, the American Express, but talk to me about the show first, Pro versus Pro, you and Justin Bates. I mean, this is a very unique show, Alex. I mean, you guys are two professional golfers and you guys got a lot of intelligent insight when it comes to the game of golf.
Yeah. Appreciate that shout out you gave earlier. It was a great little promo for it. it's a really fun show. I think that Justin has put it in my favorite way, which is, we take very different paths, but often end up at the same result with who we're going to bet on, with, you know, how we view certain narratives in the industry. We talked a little bit backstage, you and I, like, he's very much against using somebody right after a win in the following week. I actually like to bet on guys after the week, or at least play them on DraftKings and in DFS overall, because I think a lot of people take the stance that he does. And so you kind of get an ownership and efficiency on players who had just won the previous week. But this week, we're both on Siwoo Kim. I thought the coolest thing, or one of the coolest things about our show last night, was it turns out Justin talks a lot with Siwoo Kim and had like this really nice inside info that Siwoo has been really getting after it in the gym and just trying to improve his golf game in that way, just becoming a more physically sound player. So yeah, we get a lot of different interesting nuggets on golf, and I think we can bring a unique perspective to certain conversations, like what is the effect after a win? You know, we've both experienced that firsthand. So we know what kind of toll it takes on you mentally and how certain players are going to react to it differently, how motivation will stay up for certain players and in certain situations, depending on, you know, what was the tournament that they won? How did that win affect their career? Have they been grinding for 3 months, or is it like this where, you know, they just had a long layoff? So Siwoo doesn't need any kind of time to rest and rejuvenate.
Yeah, and you guys were talking a little bit. You mentioned being on him again, and Prop Shop will always reference. And I mean, you get the numbers right away. That's why, you know, if you're not subscribed, you know, you can subscribe, hang out with us. We're still running the free day trials over at FTN Daily and FTNBets.com. Get yourself a little bit of a feel. I mean, the optimizer, some of the articles and projections and tools, and the Discord channel on both sites. I mean, it's a great time to do it, because you'll have PGA, you'll have NBA action here this weekend. And also, you know, the divisional round matchups, you know, super entertaining, of course, with a lot of like high powered offenses, and should be some really good football this weekend. But Prop Shop, right? You probably had a better number on Pro versus Pro and inside the bet tracker, but I'm seeing 45-1 on Siwoo Kim here over at Points Bet, and all the way down, like a big difference, like 33-1 over at Caesars. And you guys kind of hinted maybe a little bit of Masters, like 100 I am seeing. So is this like the year of Siwoo Kim here? Is like some of the changes in his game, we're going to start to see him kind of evolve here?
So one of the things I asked Justin yesterday was, okay, he had this inside info. Did he see this win coming from Siwoo? And his answer was he didn't think it would come that quickly. And he had Siwoo circled for the Masters. And so my immediate response was, hey, wait a minute. Like I had just submitted my course fit article in which I was betting Siwoo again and said, hey, you know, we're kind of seeing signs that he could be a breakout. He could break out into stardom this season. And I then remembered the course fit model for Augusta for the Masters is very similar to the one that he just won with. It emphasizes around the green play, which has always been Siwoo's strengths. The big thing that I saw in Siwoo's data recently was, you know, he had always previously been somebody who at times got hot with the irons, but overall his iron play wasn't necessarily a strength. And more recently, he's been consistently strong with the irons. We hadn't seen the spike that we fortunately got last week that allowed him to win. But that sign of consistency in the iron play was a really good sign for him. So yeah, I pulled the trigger on 150-1 on Points Bet for Siwoo to win the Masters this morning. It's already moved down to 90 there, but it's still available at 100 on certain books, including Bet Rivers, which allows you to use the each way bet that I have on him again this week at 40-1. So yeah, very, very excited about Siwoo's prospects going forward.
Amazing the drop off, 150, and it's, I'm seeing huge. BetMGM and DraftKings at 80-1. So jump on it now, guys, if you wanna get in. So what does the course fit model tell you here with the American Express? Of course, we have the top of the board, and we always bring it up, of course. Like there's some people that play one and done pools, and you know, they can pick anybody they want in certain PGA pools. Of course, like I'll tell you guys right now, and I know that we had a conversation last year, Alex, like Rom at sick at plus 650 is not worth your time. I remember last year, I think the first tournament when you and I chopped it up, it was like 4-1, and we kind of laughed after it, you know. And then Scottie Scheffler went on that crazy run, and then we stopped, you know, where you weren't able to bet him either. But talk to me about maybe the course fit, like what does your model tell you here, and maybe like up at the top of the board, like which stud do you feel like, I mean, you can make a case for a lot of those guys, but which stud do you feel like will be hanging around on the weekend?
So the course fit model is a little bit interesting this week because we have three courses to prepare for. The nice thing about it is all three courses have similar course fit models, where across the board, we're seeing an added emphasis in both driving distance and driving accuracy. For anyone unfamiliar, we have a proprietary strokes gain driving accuracy metric at FTN, which has really come into play and has helped us greatly. So relying on that a lot this week. Around the green play, once again, is boosted. There's a slight discount to approach play, but the biggest one this week is that putting just doesn't matter quite as much as you would think. And I love that because I think a lot of people are going to have the moment in mind from last season's tournament where Jon Rahm is walking off a green and in frustration calls it like goddamn putting contest or something along those lines. And so people might think, okay, I've got to look for great putters this week. And it's actually the exact opposite. And, you know, I think sometimes Jon Rahm, when he talks about how a course is challenging guys, forgets the fact that he is a world-class ball striker and kind of takes that aspect for granted. So just because he thinks it's a putting contest doesn't mean other guys aren't being challenged from a ball striking perspective.
Putting never matters, the comment there from George. Never matters. Unless you're putting for dough there, George. I mean, three putts for you, you're not winning too much money against your buddies. It may matter for your game. What a comeback from Rom a couple weeks ago. So just the top of the board again, like who does anybody at all, is there any value here at all, dude, or maybe somebody you'd be thinking about from a DFS standpoint or anything? Yep.
Closest that I came to betting was Cameron Young at 22-1. If I had seen 25 or above, I probably would have pulled the trigger on that. As I just said, like driving matters so much here, and Cameron Young is already probably one of the three best off the tee in the world. Him, Rory, and Rom are kind of in their own tier off the tee. I will say though, at the very top, like I have next to no separation whatsoever between Jon Rahm and Scottie Scheffler, both from a baseline strokes gain perspective and from a course fit stroke gain perspective. I've got 1.8 and 2.7 for Scottie Scheffler and 1.83 and 2.72 for Jon Rahm. So if I was going to favor either of those, it's actually probably going to be Scheffler. Slightly better odds in the outright betting market and will certainly be lower owned in the DFS side of things.
Also from your show, I know you guys had a little bit of a back and forth with Tiger, and Bates is talking about like Tiger's heyday. And I do remember, I think you said like 4-1. I feel like I remember like plus 250 at one point for Tiger.
I even think that there were events where he was an odds on favorite. He was actually minus money. And like, you know, and I'm sure that those were the weeks where he was going back to a slightly weaker field at whether Firestone or Bay Hill, something along those lines where he'd already won like six or seven times. Yeah, he probably was the odds-on favorite.
It's ridiculous. Okay, let's dig a little bit deeper here because you know you've been calling long shots here. So I don't know if there's anybody here that piques your interest. I think maybe one or two from pro versus pro, but also maybe even a little bit deeper. So as you see on the top of the board for the iTunes listeners, you know, we got Montgomery here at 35-1, Sam Burns as well, Aaron Wise at 35-1. I believe there are some better numbers. Again, this from DraftKings, use the prop shop, your friend, best possible odds. Cam Davis in there at 45-1, Adam Hadwin for the Canadian crew at 60-1, Jason Day at 65-1. I know Kyle gave him a little bit of love as well. And I heard you guys talking him up just slightly, Mr. Jason Day. Can he turn back the clock this week?
Yeah, we both really like Jason Day, and I'm a little bit less interested in his outright number and more interested in just using him in DFS. And I think the transition that he has made, so for anyone who isn't aware, like he underwent some pretty severe swing changes last year. He called himself a total swing nerd at some point because he was basically trying to figure out how he can consistently swing the golf club without just shredding his spine, which is something that he had been doing for a while. And it was why like maybe once every five starts or so, he had to pull out and with back issues. So The result has been increased accuracy off the tee, less distance off the tee, improved iron play. Like, he's basically transitioned from a power player to a finesse player. And in doing so, I think we're going to see a little bit less volatility from him than we have historically, which means he has a better floor now, but it also means he maybe doesn't have quite the ceiling that we became accustomed to from him. So from the DFS side of things, I love his chances to make the cut at a really discounted price. From the outright odds perspective, like, I think 65 is very close to the number, whereas I feel like I have strong value on some other guys.
DFS, would you play him in cash because of the injury history, or do you think he's past that? Because I never, ever played Anthony Davis in cash. Like, I never will. Like, I can't do it. I understand maybe the advantages of playing him, of course, like if he pops off, and we know his ceiling is upside, and other people in the industry probably a little shy to play him in single entry as well. Is he... What do you think about him in cash and single entry day?
I have never played cash games in DFS. So I'm already like, maybe don't listen to my cash thoughts, but I do think you can play him in cash this week. I will definitely be playing him in single entry tournaments. I think the biggest thing here to realize about this event from the DFS side of things is there aren't any, like, quote unquote, safe value plays. There are no even really chalky value plays. Like, in single entry contests below Tom Hoagie at $8,400, who I've projected for about 20% ownership, there's nobody even in double digits. There are a couple who come close to it, but you kind of can't go a quote unquote safe route when it comes to values. So I'm just going to be leaning into the naturally contrarian places that my course fit modeling and course fit projections point me to. It's Dean Burmeester, Luke List, guys like that, who just,
I don't think I've ever played
with their around the green play.
I don't think I've ever played PGA cash. I think that's the one sport. Like, I've done some NBA double ups and, you know, some head to heads in the NHL and NFL. But I think PGA is one of those things that not for me at all.
Yeah.
Okay. You said you had a better number, some other guys. Mm-hmm. So do you want to share like one or two guys you like?
Yeah. So I think the Siwoo number was actually pretty good that you had on that board. However, I went to Bet Rivers where I can get an each way bet on it. And for those unfamiliar, when you have the ability to use an each way bet, and yeah, so exactly the 40-1 that we just saw there. What the each way allows you to do is you essentially get better odds on a top six than you can anywhere else on a top five. So like last week, with David Lipsky, I hit his each way at 125-1, six spots, 1/5 the payout. So I was getting 25-1 on a top six, where the best available top five anywhere was 22-1. So better odds, one extra spot. The each way bet is just really valuable in that way. So I went to Siwoo's each way, even though there was a 45-1 available. And then the bigger difference was I got Aaron Wise at 50-1 instead of his listed 35-1 there on DraftKings.
So what is it about Aaron Wise that you like?
Kind of everything.
35 is still fine?
Yeah, I think the 35 number is probably where I would price him, somewhere between 35 and 40. So I don't necessarily think that I would bet him at that number, but I don't think it's a bad bet either. Very strong player overall. Like, he's rapidly become one of the better players in the world. I'd give him a baseline strokes gained projection of 0.93. That's slightly below Cameron Young. It's equal to Siwoo Kim. It's actually ahead of someone like Sam Burns, who obviously has a little bit more win equity because when he plays well, he wins. It's just what Sam Burns does. Yes. But yeah, I think this course is a really good fit for Wise. He's both long and accurate off the tee, solid with his irons, extremely good short game. And if he does have a weakness, it's putting. Although we've also seen him become a significantly better putter ever since he went to this giant broom handle putter.
George wants one outside the top 100, 100-1, one long shot. He wants to sprinkle some pizza money on it. You got one?
I've got three, but I know which one he wants me to talk about. I have Burmeester and Luke List at 125-1 each way bets on Bet Rivers. Both were available at 150-1 elsewhere, but the one that George wants me to talk about is Ben On at 200-1, also an each way bet at Bet Rivers. The case for Ben On is a really interesting one because he kind of went the Brendan Todd route where he was a very good player at one point and then just crashed. I mean, he lost strokes putting in every event except for one in 2021. Ironically, it was the American Express this week's event. That's not factoring into why I like him this week, but we saw a career best strokes gained putting round or event from him last week. So there's a little bit of hope on that side of things, but it's really just like the way that I put it on our Provers Pro show last night was his outlook this week is a little bit binary in the sense that he's either going to continue to struggle or he might have a chance to regain the form that he was once at, where he was a player who in this type of field would probably be around 50 to 1, 60 to 1, something along those lines. So to have a chance to get him at 200 before we see him regain that form, like, you know, it's one of those situations where I like to ask myself, if the guy plays really well, how will his odds change the next time he tees it up? And if the answer is not that much, it means, okay, he's probably priced fairly. But with Ben On's case here, if he racks up another top 10 or something this week, guess what? That 200 number, it's gone forever. You know, next week he'll be 100, he'll be 70 or 80 to 1, something like that. So when you can anticipate that much of a move from one good performance, it kind of says that, yeah, the odds are in his favor this week.
Benny the Birdman putting with a Kirkland putter. Jokes. FTN alerts, follow the account on Twitter. You get notified right away when Alex makes a bet. All of us over at FTN, when we make a bet, you have the FTN betting package. You're well aware that you get all of our picks across all sports, and we keep track of absolutely everything. Pro versus pro comes your way Tuesday evenings, free on our FTN network YouTube page, iTunes, Spotify, all that good stuff as well. It's fantastic, guys, as you can tell. Super sharp duo between Alex Blickle and Justin Bates. We're going to break. Speaking of the birds, we're going to talk about them. Eagles and Giants in here next. A little bit of divisional round playoff action with Blickle. Keep her locked. Welcome back in. You're watching Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network. Chris Mina, Alex Blickle here with you guys. We're going to talk a little NFL. Eagles and Giants. Philadelphia checking in as 7.5-point favorites. And I saw this tweet from Action Network. Says the public is all over the Giants this week. So I don't know. Like, you tread with caution. Says 88% of the money on New York plus 7. 83% of the money on New York money line, that is, plus 285. So taking the spread, taking the money line. Giants are coming in here pretty hot. Listen, this is not the same defense as the Vikings. That's all I have to say right off the top, but I want to get your thoughts on this matchup, because I don't know if we can take too much away from when these two teams played in week 18. The Giants didn't play anybody. It was Jalen Hurts' first game back. You know, he's kind of going through the motions, make sure that they, you know, they get that division locked in. He's off the injury report as of today. And that week 14 matchup, when these two teams played each other, Alex, it wasn't particularly close.
Nope.
The Eagles scored a season-high 48 points. They had 6 touchdowns, 254 rushing yards. They ran the ball 31 times, and they had 437 yards. And overall, when you look at Daniel Jones's numbers, I mean, he's had a great season. Dable's done some good things with him. There's some similarities like he did with Josh Allen, improving Josh Allen's game. We've seen that here with Daniel Jones. But Jones is a guy that's been held under 220 passing yards in 13 of 16 games this season. He topped 300 yards 3 times, twice against this Vikings team. What do you make of this matchup? Do you agree with the public? Do you feel like it's going to be a much tighter affair? Because if we take anything away from some of the games last week, Blickle, with some of the divisional matchups, Miami and Buffalo and Baltimore and Cincinnati, some of these division games can get a little bonkers, especially that third matchup.
Yeah, they always can. But I think the Eagles are the far better team here. If I have one concern, it's Brian Daboll is a damn good coach. And, you know, the specific matchup that gives me concern is Brian Daboll offensively versus Jonathan Gannon defensively. I think if the Eagles have an aggressive game plan, if they just try to take care of business, they play loose, they play confident, and with the pedal down, I think it's a comfortable win. My big concern is what happens if they feel like they're such a big favorite that they can play conservatively and all of a sudden the Giants are in the game the whole time, because I think Dable will have a good game plan as he always does. But yeah, the Eagles are so much more talented. We saw that in their first matchup. I think we'll see something closer to the first matchup than the second matchup.
I think so too. And you know, when you look at this Giants defense, I mean, they can't stop the run, dude. 5.2 yards per carry. It's the second worst in the NFL. The Chargers are the worst, so they're bounced. Rush DVOA, they rank 32nd against the run, and the Eagles the fewest yards per pass attempt allowed at 5.5. So I think we'll see a bit of a different game plan from Daboll. Like, it's not going to be just Jones dropping back and chucking as much as he did last week. I mean, he exploited a bad defense. I think they'll run the ball a little bit more, maybe try to keep Jalen Hurts and the offense off the field. You mentioned Gannon, right? The defense kind of limped in, you know, to the playoffs. Dak kind of picked them apart. Andy Dalton even picked them apart in one matchup there for a little bit towards the end of the season. But Do you have any concerns at all about the offense? Like, potential, like, Jalen Hurts played once in what, 5 weeks? I know he's off the injury report, but if there's a little bit of rust in his game, you know, if there's a quick early turnover, I know you followed the Eagles for a long time. I think it was the last time these two teams played each other in the playoffs, I think it was like 2011, but I think about the 2008 matchup where the Eagles were a six seed, right? They beat Minnesota. It was an upset. Then they played a Giants team who had a bye. It was the number one seed and they upset them. There was an early turnover, I think, from Eli. Their defense got it going for them early. And then they were able to win that game, eventually lose to Kurt Warner, I think, in Arizona in the conference championship. But
is that the game where they tried the hook and lateral in the last play and almost got it?
And almost got it. Yeah.
That's the only play from that game that I remember. I was a youngster back then.
I was a youngster as well, but I do remember Kurt, like, just him and Larry Fitzgerald, they were just unstoppable in that matchup. But there's kind of like some eerie similarities here between these two teams. But I guess any concern about rust, and which Eagles guys would you attack in DFS? Like, is this going to be a heavy Miles Sanders rushing attack game for Philly this week?
I don't think so. I think they want the ball in Jalen Hurts' hands. I think it'll be a huge game for Hurts, both rushing and throwing. I think, you know, it's the healthiest the Eagles have been in quite a while, which I think people are missing too. You know, Lane Johnson going to play through it. CJ Gardner-Johnson is back. Robert Quinn is healthy again defensively. So both sides of the ball were healthier than we've been in quite a while. And I think this shapes up really well for the entire offense. But I think, you know, the Giants, as weak as they are against the run, that's just yet another reason to put the ball in Jalen Hurts' hands. You know, I think there will be a lot of like read option type plays, run pass options, all those things. And the more you can put the ball in Jalen Hurts' hands, I think the better off you are.
Yeah. And there were really no design runs last time when these two teams played, right, with Jalen, but usually there's like four or five. Lane Johnson, it sounds like he's going to play 9 pressures allowed all year, and Driscoll 6 pressures in like 2 games. So like, that's very significant to have Lane Johnson back 28 games without giving up a sack as well. Super Bowl odds. We'll bring this up and we'll get you out of here on this. I don't know if you have them. Look at this guy go. He's all over it. Chiefs plus 310, Bills plus 350, Niners plus 450, the Birds are plus 550, the Cowboys at plus 650, the Bengals are 7-1, and then we see the two long shot teams there, the Cinderella squads, if you will. Negative point differential for the Giants. I saw a stat last week, one of 53 teams to get into the playoffs with a negative point differential. Only one of them have won the Super Bowl, and of course it was the Giants in 2011. The Jaguars are checking in at 30-1. Any value that you see? Like, who's forget the value, who do you got going to the Super Bowl, your two squads?
Well, I want to bet on the Eagles, certainly. Homer a little bit there, but I do think they have a very good chance. The number that stands out the most to me there on that board, though, is Cincinnati. You know, I'm looking at my offensive efficiency projections for this week's games, and I see Cincinnati barely behind Buffalo in projected yards per drive, and actually ahead of Buffalo in projected drive success rate. They have the highest projected drive success rate of anybody playing this weekend. So if Cincinnati and Buffalo match up that evenly, then they shouldn't be that different in their Super Bowl odds, I think. So I'll go with Cincinnati as my favorite bet there.
Do you feel like you want to jump on board with the 5+5 for Cincy, 5.5? I know Jonah Williams is considered week to week, but I also read a report that he suffered the same injury earlier in the year, or maybe last year, to the Ravens, and he played all year. He didn't miss a snap. He just chucked his brace on, and I mean, he could be good to go, but it sounds like they could be down a couple offensive linemen. But you got one team in Buffalo who can't really generate any pressure bringing four with no Von Miller, and another team that can't really keep their quarterback upright. But the 5 seems like, for me personally, I think I got to jump on that, because it feels like a game whoever has the ball last, it may win the game, or it's decided on a turnover, and maybe it's a close affair. What do you think?
I think that's a really good call. And I would even say, you know, I don't really bet sides, so take my opinion with a grain of salt here, but I might even lean even more to the money line for Cincinnati and just say, hey, if this game comes down to which quarterback can execute the best under the most pressure, I might give Burrow the edge over Josh Allen.
And you won't get 7-1 if they find a way to beat Buffalo anymore. Yep. So it's a good call to maybe get on that one early. Everyone counts out the Bengals, even last year, right? They came, mm-hmm. they were, They were hot down the stretch. They made it to the Super Bowl. Burrow is perfect in three games against Patrick Mahomes. They got a 9-game winning streak here heading into Buffalo, and it should be a really highly entertaining game. Alex, appreciate your time, dude. Check out Pro versus Pro. Check out all Blickle's work over at FTN Daily, FTNBets.com, covering all the sports you love over at FTN. And again, a free show, Pro versus Pro. It's a little bit of a different vibe with two pro golfers, and I absolutely love it. Good luck this week. I know you're going to have a good chance of nailing another outright, and maybe we'll just have to have you back on here. Let's go. Mean Streets continues here on Game Plus Network. We're going to switch gears a little bit. We've got some NHL picks. We do have one divisional round prop that surfaced this morning that I wanted to share with you guys as well. So we'll say goodbye to Alex, but lots more here to get to here on Game Plus Network.
Appreciate it.
Welcome back in Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network, as well as our FTN Network YouTube page. Five games on the ice tonight in the NHL. I got a couple props I want to share with you guys towards the end of the show, maybe some goal scorers, and I still have the NFL future that I like. It's from the Kansas City and Jacksonville game. There's some stuff just kind of filtering through now. I think tomorrow we'll be able to at least, you know, hammer home a prop from every single game. I agree with, you know, some things that Alex said when it comes to the Eagles and the Giants. I do believe it's going to be a heavy rushing attack game. I think that they're going to run the football. You know, I do believe that they'll be able to pass on the Giants. One thing I do want to say about that before we get into the hockey is that Adoree Jackson, Xavier McKinney, and Leonard Williams are going to be in this game. Those three players didn't play in that week 14 matchup. Adoree Jackson did a great job last week, I thought, against Justin Jefferson. I mean, they tripled him, they doubled him at most times, and we can sit here and say all we want. I mean, Kirk Cousins, you look at the box score, you're like, wow, Kirk Cousins had a great game. I mean, he was efficient, you know, he tossed touchdown, some yardage was there, but we all look at the big play, of course, when it was 4th and 8 and they chuck it to TJ Hawkinson at like 3 yards down the field, right? But Adoree Jackson is, you know, he's a corner that I respect. And I think, you know, definitely Leonard Williams, I think, is one of the better nose tackles in the game. So I, you know, it's be a little tighter than I think some people may. And I say that, but at the end of the day, Action Network tweets out that everybody's on the Giants. So, I mean, I don't really know, but I feel for me personally that this is going to be more of a field goal game, a closer game, but the better team in the Eagles, the better defensive team, the better offensive line, the number one rushing team in the NFL this year and last year, a defense in the Giants that can't really stop the run. I think that'll be the difference. One prop I wanted to give you guys was Miles Sanders. I'm just not seeing anything yet, but what I want to say about Sanders against the Giants, he's kind of owned them. I know a lot of people talk about Boston Scott. He's the Giant eater. 10 touchdowns, 10 of his 17 touchdowns, I think, have been against the Giants. It's crazy. I mean, this year he had a couple, and last year, and it seems like every year, and part of those games have been blowouts and the way that the Eagles run their offense inside the red zone pre Jalen Hurts entering as a member of the Philadelphia Eagles, right? I mean, with Doug Peterson, you just never knew which Eagle was going to get the touches inside the red zone. That's why nobody wanted to draft Miles Sanders this year, because he had zero rushing touchdowns last year, and this year he has a career year with over 1,000 yards and double-digit scores. But Miles Sanders in that week 14 matchup, 17 for a buck 44, 2 touchdowns, 8.5 yards per carry. This is really the yardage per carry goes to show, yeah, the Giants have struggled against the run over the years. The offensive line has dominated the line of scrimmage, Philadelphia, and their offensive line in general. It's one of the best in football. And of course, we talked about Lane Johnson. So these are some of the yards per carry numbers from Miles Sanders. And like, it's kind of like a little bit of a small sample in terms of just his carries, like 7 for 45, 6.4 yards per carry, 9 for 64, 7.1, 15 for 85, 5.7, 9 for 52, 5.8 yards per carry. And then that week 14 matchup, as I mentioned, a buck 44 on 17 carries, 8.5 yards per carry. This is a career 5.2 yards per carry back behind that offensive line. I know some people take shots at Miles Sanders as like, is he an elite running back? Maybe not. There's not a lot of games where he's had 17, 20 carries over the course of his career. Can he handle that full workload? Of course, you also have a quarterback who can call his own number, and there will be some design runs for Jalen Hurts. But I am really feeling Miles Sanders, and we'll probably get a prop a little bit later on today, and we'll share that one. But I'd take anything over 75. I think we'll probably see that number around 67.5 too, just because of what Jalen can do. It's always a little bit down, but as of tonight, a hockey prop here for you, and then we'll visit a couple other towards the end of the show. I'm taking a look at Tyler Seguin here. Without Roope Hintz in the lineup, Seguin has seen a big boost in ice time, and he's been productive. He's got goals in 3 straight. He's got points in 4 straight games. All the games that Roope Hintz has been sidelined. Seguin, 3 goals, 5 points, 14 shots, and not only does he have a point in each of those games, his ice time has jumped up considerably. This is a guy that's averaging 16 minutes per game. He's only played 19 minutes in three games this season, right? Tyler Seguin, 19 minutes in just three games this season. Two of those games have come over the last week and a half with Rupe Hintz out of the lineup. So you saw on the board, taking the over on his point prop here tonight. Use the prop shop to get the best possible odds. And I like the over 2.5 shots. Gove, what was that number? Thank you, sir. Plus 125 for the shot prop. And, you know, he's been shooting, as I mentioned, the 14 shots in the four games, but he's cleared this number in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of his last 12 hockey games. And James Reimer has allowed 21 goals in his last 5 starts, including 4 goals against this very same Dallas Stars team on New Year's Eve. So it's a pretty good spot for the Stars. Tyler Seguin is $4,400 at DraftKings as well. As I mentioned, we've seen a big boost in ice time, and he's surrounded around good players on that top line, Jason Robertson and also Joe Pavelski, who's a great pass first player, even with him getting so much higher in terms of his age. And he just keeps producing. He's like fine wine, Joe Pavelski. Tyler Seguin, big night tonight, over 0.5 points and over 2.5 shots. Use a prop shop to get the best possible odds. We'll have some more hockey talk towards the end of the show, but I'm going to give you an NFL prop here on the other side of the break. We'll be back in a couple. Welcome back in. So the prop that I liked that popped up this morning, and we made it our free bet over at ftmbets.com. It's a great Twitter account to follow. Of course, I'm a little biased, but we are giving out free bets consistently over at ftmbets.com. So I'm leading here with Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce, there's a lot of tight ends actually in pretty good spots. I mean, the Dallas Goddard's in a really good spot against a defense that ranks, I think, 31st in DVOA against tight ends, but the Jaguars also struggle against tight ends. I'm not breaking any news here with Travis Kelce. I mean, obviously this guy is elite. He's the best tight end in football, over 76.5 receiving yards. The Jags surrendered over 1,000 receiving yards to tight ends this year and 13.1 yards per reception to the position. Both were the third worst mark in the NFL inside the top 10 in allowing fantasy points to tight ends as well. The reason I wanted to share this with you guys now is I always reference the prop shop, and it does save you a lot of time in terms of just, you know, surfing around different books. Who has time for that? I mean, you go to BetMGM, you go to FanDuel, you go to DraftKings. Nobody's got that time. I don't have that time. Prop Shop, it's free, ftmbets.com, and it's just right there for you. As an example, look at the differences in some of these books. On the board there, that was from Bet Rivers, 76.5, over, giddy up, minus 114. Unibet, 76.5, minus 114. Great. Those are two great numbers. And then we see DraftKings hanging 80.5 at minus 115, so a steeper price and 4 more yards. Points Bet, 80.5 minus 120. Caesars, 80.5 minus 130. And FanDuel, 81.5 minus 114. Let's jump on the over 76.5 before we see like 81, 82, 83 across the board. I think that this guy, Travis Kelce, could top 100 yards here today. I know that, or today, yeah, no chance, unless you're playing Madden. But this weekend, I think he could. And the Jacksonville Jaguars are decent against the run, but they're not that great in the secondary. They've struggled against tight ends, as I alluded to, but also Patrick Mahomes tossed 4 touchdowns against them earlier in the year. We know that Mahomes and Andy Reid, after a bye, absolutely phenomenal. And last year, this team came out red hot in the playoffs. 42 points in their first game, 42 points in their second game. I expect Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes to be able to carve up this secondary. I think the Jags can do their part to keep this game fairly close. We may get a backdoor cover. But ultimately, I do believe that Patrick Mahomes is going to be able to do whatever he wants to do in this game. And as I mentioned, I forget the number off the top of my head. I'll probably get it to you all at the other side of the break. But I do believe Andy Reid, as a member of the Chiefs, has been almost perfect after buys. And that's what we know about Andy Reid. This is a narrative that we can take. Some people will take with a grain of salt and roll their eyes. But this is a pretty large sample size of Andy Reid after bye weeks. And as a member of the Eagles and a member of the Chiefs, having success when his team has had a bye, which is the case here. Travis Kelce, over on the receiving yard prop, 76.5. Bet Rivers, minus 114. We'll be back in a couple more NHL props to share with you to round out Mean Streets. Welcome back in. Andy Reid, after a bye. This is from CBS Sports. I didn't actually go back and do all the research myself. I stole it, but I'm giving credit to CBS Sports. And Andy Reid, coming off a bye in his 24-year coaching career, He is 28-5. 28-5. That's including playoff games as well. I mean, that's pretty good. My goodness. 28-5. Are you kidding me? Good luck, Jacksonville. Although I would love to see it. Wouldn't you guys? I'm here for all the upsets, just not one at the link on Saturday night. NHL shot props tonight. A couple, you know, studs up at the top. Nathan MacKinnon and David Pastrnak at 4.5. Nathan MacKinnon has 5 goals, 13 points, and 46 shots on goal in his 8 games since returning to the lineup, playing heavy, heavy minutes. That's 5.7 shots per game for Nathan MacKinnon over that span. You know, it is a tough spot against the Calgary Flames. And you know what I said earlier this week when I tweeted it out? We got the Avs at plus money, I think plus 140 to win on the puck line at home against Detroit. I like them tonight at like plus 110 against Calgary. Colorado, it has the second worst shooting percentage at 5-5 this season, according to Natural Stat Trick. Guys, that's going to change. MacKinnon is back in the lineup. Valerie Nichushkin returned to the lineup last game. Evan Rodriguez enters on a 9-game point streak here tonight. He's on that top line with MacKinnon and also Arturi Lehkonen. You got Nichushkin and Rantanen, and Kale McCarr is feeling it. The Avs are pushing for a playoff spot, defending Stanley Cup champs. Guys, they're going to turn it up in the second half of the season. Take some of this value here with the Avs. I like them tonight to win the game. MacKinnon plus money for 4.5 shots, and this guy is getting like 8 or 9 shot attempts per game over the last 3 weeks. So I'm jumping on that. Pastrnak as well, as you see on the board. We are eating pasta tonight, courtesy of our guy George. A decent spot against the Islanders, and this guy's just been red hot. I think he's got like 8 or 9 goals over his last 8 hockey games, and he is flirting with winning the Rocket, and I think he might do it, although Connor McDavid's on a little bit of a tear as well. Jason Robertson also on that board. We mentioned Tyler Seguin at 2.5 shots. I do like Seguin, but Jason Robertson, a pretty good price for him against the San Jose Sharks at minus 106. I talk about the struggles that James Reimer has had. Maybe Jason Robertson finds the back of the net and assists, plus 160 for Tyler Seguin, and Joe Pavelski's even money for an assist as well. Rickard Rakell against the Ottawa Senators. That should be a fun game between the Penguins. We got Josh Norris back in the lineup. Make sure he is scooped up in all your fantasy hockey leagues. And I do like the over between the Pens and the Senators. Pittsburgh not playing good hockey at all, but I like Rickard Rakell. He's cleared in 3 of his last 4. And then Brendan Hagel, plus 215 for a goal, plus money for an assist. He's hit the score sheet in 7 of his last 8 games. He's got 4 goals over that span. He's got 4 helpers in 4 straight games as well. And the Canucks are atrocious. They play to the over in 6 straight games. They have the second highest goals against per 60 at 5-5, and that's according to the Natural Stat Trick over the last 6 weeks. And only the Ducks have allowed more high danger chances at 5-5 per 60 since December 1st than the Vancouver Canucks. Good luck on the ice. We'll be back tomorrow. Cheers.